It's been well over a month since I've made my first episode on this podcast, and I got 11 listens, and I got approved on 8 platforms now, so that's good for me. Now, one thing that I'm going to say is that for the past couple weeks, I think it's almost 3 weeks now, I've been addicted to watching the UK's House of Commons. The British House of Commons is like so good, I'm not gonna lie. Really, I used to think that these MPs are just being straight up stupid. No brain in there. Just screaming and screaming in there. But then I realized it's fun. Because after John Bercow left, or Bercow, after the former speaker left, and Hoyle took over as speaker, it's been pretty good. It's really good that they're... It's actually really entertaining to watch, I'm not gonna lie. And unlike the Italian Parliament, which I've not watched yet, but I'm definitely gonna watch it after this podcast, after I record this episode, I've actually seen a thumbnail where they're actually beating each other there. Also in South Africa. They legitimately get into fights in Parliament. Which is one of the reasons why the countries are so, so screwed up. The United States is pretty screwed up in its corruption and all that stuff. But they're so formal and boring. Like during the impeachment sometime in December, when Trump was impeached on 2 articles of impeachment, they basically just... They took 11 hours. Hours of debate that I couldn't watch. I skipped through it all. Lots of voting. And then we had the 2 articles of impeachment, where Pelosi came up and then she just left. Then an interim speaker served as speaker. You aren't you always supposed to be there? Nancy Pelosi even made a speech, ended up being her speaker. What's the point of a speaker if you're not going to be a speaker? I don't know. But back to the British House of Commons, I'd have to say that the channel that I was watching all of this stuff on was The Sun, a Tory newspaper. I'm not gonna lie, like, who reads The Sun? I'm in Alberta right now, like, no one reads The Sun. No one, I've never met a person who would actually say, I read The Sun every day. That's embarrassing, man. The Sun is so bad. You know what? And, like, I remember watching this Grade A Andre episode was saying, the one man owns the New York Times and The Sun, but one is more credible. Well, the thing is, you can have 2 children. And one child can do all sorts of trouble, all sorts of horrible things. And the other one just does their own thing and respects people. Okay? The thing is that it's weird, but The Sun is... I don't even know what The Sun is. Is it like, it's a Tory newspaper in the United Kingdom. It's also a Tory newspaper here, and it's quite awful. And I've never read it. I've only watched some of their videos, and the thing is that, yeah, no thank you. I don't know about the Telegraph or the Telegram. Is it called? Is that what it's called? And then you also have the Daily Mail. And I'm gonna go out on a limb. I've never read the Daily Mail. I don't plan on reading this. I read the Edmonton Journal, and I was like, oh, okay, this is okay. I just read a few of their articles, and that was it. I don't even read a lot of articles. Like, I would rather read a book. They go through an article, okay? Those articles, like, it's just so boring. And, like, you know what? I don't know. And I guess since, like, you know, you're getting to that time, my grandfather, he subscribed. I'm going to go off topic now from the British House of Commons because I always find a way to connect these 2 topics, man. Like, I guess British House of Commons, I watched it in The Sun, and now I'm going on to the Reader's Digest. My grandfather used to get the Reader's Digest at least maybe like every quarter or something like that. They publish around 10 times a year. I'm thinking that maybe one day I might subscribe to a magazine and get, you know, weekly or quarterly updates. Because you pay them and they send you updates to your mailbox. How amazing is that? And you know, just saying, nobody reads digital stuff anymore. It's all online. And I say, man, I'm a traditionalist. I'll read it on paper. Because online saves trees. Yes. Online, being online saves trees. What about your eyesight? People keep their phones literally 2 seconds, 2 millimeters away from their eyes. And they go blind and they wonder, why am I going blind? Idiot. I would rather go on paper anytime, man. Because it's real. It's tangible. And the thing is that I don't have a printer. I'm gonna get one day, I know it. But that's just one thing. I'm definitely gonna subscribe to the Daily Mail. No, not the Daily Mail, Reader's Digest. I'm gonna read their online articles first and then see what they do. Or maybe I'll just go around. Maybe I'll even subscribe to my own local news. I'll see if Global News does something. And I guess I'm gonna be going on to entertainment now, because I'm gonna say, does anyone even listen to the radio? Because let's say everyone goes on to FM radio right now, but no, man. Do you even watch, do you even listen to the CBC one? Man, I don't even listen to the CBC. I listen to Global sometimes. I listen to Global during the April 16th Alberta general election. I tell you, when the UCP got those 63 seats, I was like, there's no God. But who knows? When Kenny's currently destroying the economy like this, there'll be no oil donors left in the province to give him money. His campaign will be completely defunded and he'll have to go to Nigeria and say, hello, my name is Jason. I mean, the people won't hear when he's accidentally says his name because he has too much of an ego. He starves in Nigeria. That's that. That's that. That's that. That's that. I'm gonna see how many times I can post, man. Because I talk to myself a lot. And I don't know, I've also been learning some Arabic recently. Because I can tell you, I've been listening to learning languages. There's one guy called Ekna, I'm gonna say, it's good to, I like your way, but you'll never be able to learn a language and become, you, because all of these language methods are cookie cutter. Take them as advice. The thing is that take advice, but this advice is not a rule book. It's a suggestion. You can either choose to use this to guide you on your path, but do not be having other people dictate your life. This is your life. Why should you let other people dictate it? And if you have someone who is controlling, let them go, man. And I'm gonna go off on that, end that rant there. These language learning tutorials, they're BS. I say, oh, if it's a script that is not your script that you learned in your native language, let it last. Learn all these words. You have to study language every day. And I tell you, man. I have to tell you, man. People grow every day. Yes, people grow a little bit every day. But sometimes you just won't grow for one day, but you start again. Because to be honest here, Ekena has the time to learn around 14 languages. Okay? If I could have that time. But in this case, I only see these videos as suggestions. People who are trying to help you. Actual resources, you use those resources. Take it full advantage. Take full advantage. If you can find a verb conjugator for the language that you're using, use that verb conjugator. I'm telling you, man. Take full advantage of all of this. If one person gives you some knowledge on a language, when I was learning Hebrew, like its construct state or the definite article, like for example, if I say ketavti ta-Torah, which is actually ketavti et ha-Torah, which means I wrote the Torah. Ketavti means I wrote. Which is, if you've studied Arabic, you can see that it sounds similar to katabti, but the b is replaced with a v, even though in Hebrew, the letter that makes the v sound could also make b, but it just uses v now, usually. Katavti, and then we have et, which has no translation, but is used after a verb to a definite noun, like I wrote the Torah, ketavti et ha. So et has no translation in English, but it's like to make it more definite after a noun. Then you have ha, which means the, translated in English, and then Torah is exactly what it means, the Torah. But you might have, but at first you heard me pronounce it as Ketavti Ta Torah. Well, if you say et ha, much faster, et ha, et ha, et ha, et ha, et ha, et ha, it's just easier to say ta. And most translators and voice-to-texts will understand what you're saying, because people say this a lot. Like when I say gonna or come on, they know what I mean, because that's what everyone says. You're saying that to shorten what you say, people understand what you're saying, and it works. So ketavti ta Torah. And that's in almost my entire year of learning Hebrew. I'm still learning language. You won't wake up fluent one day. Like when I was a baby, when we were all babies, it takes, maybe you just take 1 year of input and you start speaking sentences. For me, it took me a couple years and they had to send in people to, you know, talk to me before I started saying things. But then that's that. When babies are born, they are born with the initiative to hear all types of sounds. Like in languages in India, there is a difference between P and P, and a P and an aspirated P. So you like say P. You put a H at this end, like when you pronounce pie. Pit. Pit. When I pronounce pit, it's not aspirated. Pit. Could you hear that little difference at someone speaking to you at full speed? No. You'll have to train your ears to listen to those sounds if you're learning those types of languages. So if you're ever studying a language, if you're studying grammar or vocab, or just, you know, doing something, drawing in the background, play the podcast with someone talking, you'll recognize certain words. And that's cool, but you want to be able to pick up out the sounds of the language. Just keep listening, maybe like at least an hour a day, but take my advice with a grain of salt, because this is what I'm going to do. You do you. And I've managed to get myself up to 13 minutes right now, going from the British House of Commons from going to linguistics. How do I do this? I don't know. Well, I guess I'm exhausted at this point. My phone is at 4%. I'm going to have to charge it again. And I'm going to just do my own thing. I'm going to listen to some Hebrew using Podcast Addict, my favorite podcatcher, the best one. And I'm going to see you guys later. Well, actually, I'm going to book it a couple more times. I've also been learning some Arabic. I learned the Arabic alphabet a while ago. I can read Arabic, but not fluently. Like, I can see the letters and see what they look like and, you know, recognize them, but I can't fluently read sentences like that type of reading. So last night I was, you know, doing some research on hard consonants, like pronouncing, you know, the letter ein. He actually was really helpful because you just pull your tongue back in your mouth, and ein is really just ha, the Arabic letter ha. But not, you know, ha. I can't pronounce it right, but it's ha, ha, ha. It's like something like that. Very aspirated. Like, I pull my tongue back, but I don't, you know, activate my vocal cords. I keep them. It's like pronouncing F and V. Like, say van and fan. Van and fan. It's the difference between your vocal cords being activated or not. And that's actually pretty cool. It's pretty useful because basically, there's around 4 consonants in Arabic that all I have to do is that if I can pronounce the voiced or unvoiced one, I can pronounce the other by either voicing or unvoicing it, which is really cool. Like, I managed to even pronounce al-salam, alaykum, 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 al-salam, alaykum, al-salam, walaykum, walaykum salam, walaykum salam. Unless that. It's actually really easy though, if you know what you're doing. So, yeah. Be mentioning a lot more Hebrew and Arabic on this channel. And also, as the languages I start to learn, I'm gonna be like French and Tagalog. Something like that, yeah. We're learning Tagalog. But that's just for me. See you guys next time I publish.